Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To be done and then done that.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when we sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Jesse, Megan coming at you live after, above anything, that was a great hockey game.
I said it downstairs. I'll repeat it because I thought it was a quality joke, but going from that Avs-Rangers game to the start of Vegas, San Jose felt like going from the MLB All-Star game to the celebrity softball game that gets played before it.
Huge I don't know if difference. That's fair, though. I actually enjoy the celebrity softball game more than the actual
Huge
All-Star game.
Huge difference in like intensity and, honestly, talent on the ice. Like, huge. So, yes, I agree with you. Great, great hockey game. Felt bad for any like casual viewer who just rolled on into that next game, because
dude, I feel bad for anyone who has to watch a game that starts at that time.
Saying, what about
the deep game?
Yeah, jeez, no kidding. I was saying, like, what about like non-local San Jose or Vegas fans, like watching the end of that Avs game, like, wow, what a great finish, and then you have to see what your teams look like
at 11 o'clock at night.
I'm gonna
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, might as well. Long story short, we had some of our family together a couple nights ago, and my sister asked, we were at my parents' house, she's like, do you guys have Game 6 DVR from the Cup Final? And they were like, yeah, of course, whatever, whatever. She was, can we turn it on? And just watching the first period of that game relative to what is being played on the ice right now, they literally look like two different sports.
Yep.
It's that was
not even close.
3 months ago, and you forget, like, it's literally every single play is just played at
perfectly to a T.
An insanely high pace on top of that. Like, everything's crisp, everything's sharp, and everything's 2.5 times the speed of what we saw tonight. And tonight was a fantastic game. But just a quick little tangent on, wow, you forget how elite that hockey is by the time the year comes to an end.
Yeah, it's not wrong. Avs win 3-2 in the shootout over the New York Rangers. The thing about really good hockey games is when you're invested in them, they're also incredibly frustrating because there's a different universe where the Avs blow out the New York Rangers tonight pretty handily, but they didn't play quite well enough, and Igor Shesterkin played great. Give him all the credit in the world, but the Avs were that much better tonight. So, got the job done. We didn't decide who's doing the 60-second rundown.
Megan volunteered for it like five times. Yeah,
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I was screaming.
She was screaming like both hands, like, ah! It was Rudo's like, well, no one wants it, I guess.
Really big pick-me energy and just straight ignored.
I can't see anything but that E-Rod goal. I'm sorry.
That's so fair. Well,
look, we all get stars in our eyes.
I haven't broken from the notes. I'm so sorry. But we're going to try it.
All right, ready?
Yes. All right, it was a strong first period, McKinnon up high. to Makar Nichushkin Tippin on the board. Power play goal. Avs earned a slight edge in the shots battle that period, blocking shots, generating chances inside home plate. Second period, Rangers gained the advantage. Failed Girard shot rimmed around and out. 3-on-2, cross crease pass. Rangers score. Georgiev busted out a full split. I couldn't complain about the effort. That period, New York outshot and outhit Colorado. They gained possession. It just tilted in their favor pretty handily. And Manson drew a late period penalty. They started on the PK. On the PK, Cogliano challenged Shesterkin. Logan O'Connor shorthanded goal. You don't see that every day. You also don't see a McKinnon turnover every day. Adam Fox ties it 2-2. Overtime hockey begins. They weather a 4-on-3. Goes to a shootout. Rantanen and Rodriguez score, and Georgiev gets his.
Yeah. Damn.
Well done.
Did you run? Did you run like drills on that before we got up here?
No, there were some errors. I actually
9 seconds to spare. Impressive.
Hard working. I'm usually trying to get it in under the wire, but great summary. We can end the show.
We're done. Yeah.
Getting into it though, I feel like this is a very multifaceted game. There are a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, a lot of in between to talk about. So we'll get into all of it. We'll start with the first period. Felt like a pretty even game, right? Up until the Avs' first power play.
What? Sorry?
Just giggling over there?
Yeah. So I was in my own world.
I know how that is.
Yeah.
Avs' first power play is elite. Just excellent, excellent, excellent. And they get rewarded on the tip play from Nuke, as Megan said. How positive are we on the Avs special teams from this game? Obviously the shorthanded goal, but beyond that, the PK basically held the game together for the Avs, right?
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You score a power play goal, you score a shorthanded goal, you give up nothing on the other end.
Aces.
10 out of 10. Yeah. You kill a 4-on-3 in overtime. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, Bednar's got to be happy with that one. Like, that's what he's been talking about, the frustrations are with the special teams. Predominantly the penalty kill is that it's the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah.
It's not like they're plugging one hole and another one springing. They're making the same mistakes. So to see them go out, have a good night where, I don't know, I can't think of a penalty kill or a power play where it was like really chaotic and they just had to like hold on.
The third one was just kind of bad, but yeah. That happens on power plays.
Right, right.
Like the other two were really, really good. So
yeah. So, I mean, I think that's probably the first game where you can really take something from it, you know, because they've had a couple games where, oh, the penalty kill is doing great, and then total breakdown, they give up one, or the other way around, total breakdown, they give one up, and then they kill off three. Like, there's always been kind of that pockmark on it.
Yeah, for sure.
And this has got to be one where you'll be running some film on this, these special teams work.
And it's also like, we're going to talk about him a lot, but Alexander Georgiev makes
your best PKer by a mile.
A number of spectacular saves, and the tip on Kreider that we all thought went in.
Yep.
That Kreider thought went in.
Oh, under his bottom.
Well, my favorite thing about tonight is that Chris Kreider is going to go home and just punch pillows because he wants it to be last year so badly where everything broke his way, especially on the power play. And tonight, I'm just like, I just couldn't help but think it was very funny that on the power play, he's getting tips, he's getting rebounds, he does all the things that he does well, he gets opportunities with, and nothing goes for him.
Yeah.
And he's just like skating around at the end of the game, like,
well, how old is Chris Kreider?
Like 30, yeah, 31.
He's not young.
I was going
to
say.
And after a decade in the league, he has a 50-goal season out of nowhere. And so it's funny to see him, like, have to return to Earth right in front of us, where it's like, he'll probably push 30 again this year. He's always been that guy. But you can see the things that didn't work tonight were just goal after goal after goal after goal last year.
Right.
I think there was a graphic on ESPN that said he had 17 tip-in goals last season. He had none tonight, although he was close. He had none tonight, and I enjoyed that.
Well, so it's just funny because, like, you can understand why other GMs, fantasy owners, gamblers, buy into the, you know, 50-point season, he's going off. This isn't me trying to drag AD, but do you remember the argument that the three of us had about, who was it, the goalie that was going to Buffalo?
Carter Hutton.
Carter Hutton, who his entire career was an average backup. He had like a 40 game stretch where he played really well. Not going to take that away from him. Not going to take it away from him. And I remember you and me were arguing with AD. AD was like, this is the next number one. This is the next big number one in the league. And we were like...
Well, and it was because Tim Thomas happened one time.
Right. And we were like, no, he's probably still just the same guy he's always been, but he had one really good stretch. It's crazy to me how players can like, oh, no, I'm not a 30-goal guy anymore. I'm a 50-goal guy now. And it's like, nah, Chris Kreider, you're probably a 30-goal guy again. Which is great. That's huge. Like,
really good.
He's really, really good.
These things happen every couple of years. You have... Go back to Andrew Hammond on the goalie side. He had a 30-game stretch with Ottawa. It was unbelievable. On the goal side...
I think you could just go and look at last year's top 50 scores.
Right.
And well, when you find Kevin Fiala with an 85-point season. And, you know, guys like that. Guys who have been, like, good players for a long time.
Go back to the contract Buffalo gave Jeff Skinner.
Yeah, like, I mean, Nazem Kadri had an 88-point season, something like that last year. Like,
and he gets a deal that takes him to 39.
Yeah.
it's crazy. Again, I think Chris Kreider's really good. But yeah, you watch some of those last year.
That's the thing. These are all really good players who have elite seasons.
Right.
And then there, of course, there are people that buy into that where they're like,
right.
Oh, he's an elite player now.
Right. He woke up today and decided he was an elite player. Can you imagine that?
And this is a great conversation to bring us into our first goal scorer. Valanciunas signs his deal after his first 50-point season. And we're now 7 games into the season. He's got 7 goals and 12 points.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Now, again, I think if you're expecting Val to be over a point per game player for the entire season.
But this is also how a Chris Kreider
how these years happen. For sure. It is.
Built.
It has to start is this way. Yeah.
A guy gets out of the gates like comically hot like this. And you're like, yeah, it might cool down at some point, but when you got 14 goals already,
you've got some leeway.
You go back to your normal goal scoring pace. Well, that's how you end up with a 40-goal year.
Yep.
Because right now, that's what Val looks like. Val looks like a guy that's on his way to a 40-goal type season.
So, I mean, look, I'm this isn't me predicting a 40-goal season for Val, but like, do we really think that's all that far-fetched at this point? What did he have last year, 27?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, you take a really good year like last year.
Yeah.
You have a crazy hot start like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And even if that guy goes back to normal.
Right.
What was normal last year?
He scored.
You have a career year on your head.
Like, yeah, it's 25 and 70 something last year. So.
Yeah, he had 25 goals in 62 games.
So that's an easy 30, and you're pushing for 40 this year.
With the start that he's had.
Yeah.
Like, that should be like the target that we talk about all year with him.
Yep.
Well, and I mean,
can he run down a 40 goal season?
I was saying, I mean, he's 27, so I mean, like, you're theoretically saying this year, next year should be a guy like Val, like. This should be where you absolutely are peaking. He theoretically could still get better this year, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's not on the backside of this prime. And I just, like, I've been, like, we've been saying this for the last few years. Like, oh, no, it's good, you know, good for him, but it'll cool off. The dude just keeps getting better. So, like, it's the anti-Oilers. I just can't pick against him getting better at this point. I'm
going to jump around a little bit here. But, Megan, where do you Val best on this hockey team? Because we saw him play with the second line tonight.
Every line.
Look, is that the reality? Is he? Because he played with Mac tonight on the first line. You also saw him get out there in overtime with McKinnon, and they didn't lose the hockey game. So that's a plus. Or is there somewhere he should settle into the lineup, or is he going to be this flex top six guy for the rest of the year?
I mean, because of what he's contributing to, like, the bottom six in being a flex guy, you'd like to see it. But I worry about him getting a little too spent moving about the lineup so much. It's honestly, like, the total usage that I'd be more concerned about compared to where. But he's obviously best fit in a top six role because he's playing alongside talent that can help him to finish. And he's not struggling to do that right now. For the whole season... Probably want to see him stay kind of targeted on the top six because the idea is that bottom six figures it out and they are not relying on the services of Val to make their line better.
Here's what's crazy about what's kind of becoming a Val, and we talked about it in the playoffs last year. It was Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts. He's great. But he says all the time his favorite player in the NHL is Gabe Landeskog. And they talked about it on a show last year where Jared Bednar was kind of using Landeskog as he referred to it as the fixer. any line that just needed a little bit of support, that's where he'd plug in Gabe. Yeah. You're kind of starting to get that feel with Val a little bit. Which line needs the boost? Which line needs someone who's going to go skate their asses off, hound pucks, and go to the net?
Which line needs an adult?
Right, right. And that's where he's plugging in Val. And what's getting crazy about Val, going back to last year, is the line just elevates.
Yep.
Like, you know, as much as he's maybe not like a play driver himself, or, you know, like creating a lot of offense himself, every line it seems that he's on just gets better, and they just produce better results.
So it's two factors for me. One, he's still doing all the small things so well, mm-hmm. on the defensive side, winning the puck battles, engaging. But two, right now, with his confidence, you could put him on a line with Wayne Gretzky, and he'd be like, give me the puck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want the puck.
Yeah. Seriously.
My puck.
Bro, I was talking to some people yesterday. Is he not just the most Russian-looking dude of all time?
Yeah, because we were talking yesterday that if we printed out a photo of him, like, walking into the rink.
Oh, yeah, it was us. And, we were having the conversation. And, jeez, oh, my God.
And passed it around to people who didn't know who he was.
Fuck.
And said, where is he from?
Yeah.
We were confident we could get 8 out of 10 saying Russia.
Just waist up, like, a bust shot of him. You'd be like, Russia, for sure.
Yeah.
If not Russia, like, Germany, like, East Germany. Just so Russian looking.
You at, like, at absolute worst, you could just be like Eastern Bloc.
Yeah. No one would 100%. Say American or Canadian.
Not sure which one of them. Eastern Bloc.
I want to get into the two major concerns I have from this game, so we can get those behind us and just high five and slap hands for the rest of the pod. Individually,
slap hands.
That better be the worst game of the season for Josh Manson.
It won't be, because this is like the downside of Josh Manson, is that he's going to have games like this every once in a while, mm-hmm. where Colorado is able to handle situations like this, is that they can just see that he's struggling and cut that ice time down a little bit, and you double shift a Makar with a Byram, you double shift a Taves, you double shift a Girard. You've got a whole bunch of guys there that you can make a bunch of different variations with, and situationally still make them make sense to cover your own ass and cut down on a shift on the shifts for that guy. You don't have to just continue to roll him out there.
Well, and Bednar's got a good enough pulse that you see him switch to utilizing those guys in situations that are advantageous for them.
Dude, third shift of the game, they had Byram with Makar after Taves Makar started,
right,
and
right.
It was like, here we go.
And you know, even Manson, like, we all kind of gasped when it was him and EJ as the D pairing in that that penalty kill in overtime.
Yep.
But he got in front of pucks, he got in lanes, and like,
well, and it's not that he didn't do good things tonight, right.
But it's just one of those games for him.
It's just when those things are happening in a game, it's really hard to trust him.
Yeah.
For the record, 17-23
total ice time.
Yeah. And that's with, I mean, consider all of the
PK overtime time. Yeah.
Consider that Johnson at 17-11.
And I think the reality that we are learning.
Else, nobody broke 20 except for Taves and Makar.
Yeah, of course.
Like 26.
Over 26. Yeah. That's not actually the distribution that I would want on in a normal night. But I also don't think Byram was very good. And I had no issues with Sam Girard. I would have played him more.
Outside of the one goal that he really airmailed a puck. But we'll get to that.
He really tried, though. Yeah, we'll slide into that lane.
We'll get to it, because I have no complaints about Girard defensively on that play.
I agree.
So we'll get to it.
I agree on the defense.
All right, if we'll get to it. So I'm with you, AJ.
Well, I want to take a bigger picture look at these two goals the Avs gave up and the game tonight. 0 5-on-5 goals from Colorado. They lose the 5-on-5 battle 2-0. Get away with it because their special teams are great. You don't see the Avs lose 5-on-5 badly like that very often. Throw it away or something to work at.
At what point do we start to look at this season as just this season?
Sure.
And stop harkening back to last year when it was very clearly.
I don't know that you ever do, because there are expectations.
I'm just saying, when we're comparing how they played at 5v5, well, they were, at the end of last year especially, they were quite a bit better than this year's team is at the moment.
It's true.
you know, we expect guys, you know, we expect Evan Rodriguez and Alex Newhook to kind of develop their way into more impact players consistently as the year goes on. And we knew that there were going to be some early season lumps. That's what we're seeing. And the one thing when you build a team that its number one strength is its defense, well, the one unit that is always the worst at the start of the year, forwards or defense, it's always defense.
Yep.
Because it takes time for you to get that timing and that communication and that comfort zone with a partner and how you're playing and into the flow and all the different aspects of it. Defense is always the thing to come later in the year. It gets better as the year goes on. Goal scoring goes down as the year goes on. These are historical trends that even in high scoring years like last year remain true.
Yeah.
100%. You get into postseason. Look at the start of the Stanley Cup final versus the end of the Stanley Cup final.
That's a great point.
As a microcosm of exactly how that process works.
I would say look at everything in the Stanley Cup playoffs except for the Oilers.
And it's really like that you're these like particular early season foibles for the Avs, I just don't think are that big of a deal. Like, you know the defense is going to be a little looser. You know the PK is not going to be locked in. It's weird that the power play just, like, showed up absolutely on fire and just continues to be great. Like, they probably should have scored on two power plays tonight.
Yep.
It's really, like, they... I'm not so much concerned about the 5v5 play yet because I think it's trending in the correct direction.
Yeah,
I agree.
I do think that the defense
has some holes.
It's just giving up so much. And team defense is the big thing here. So I don't think it's just the defensemen, but you're seeing the game tying goal.
Yep.
It's they break down in transition. Everybody loses their guy.
Yep.
You know, you have got two guys working really hard to cover one guy out of desperation. Then they realize we're covering one guy. You know, it's the team defense concepts that so far right now are really, really, really loose.
Yeah.
That's my main concern with it at 5v5 is that that part of the game, they don't look special yet.
Yeah, I agree with that statement right there, and that was something Andrew Cogliano even made a point of the other day. After the, I believe it was a Seattle game, they gave up 38 shots, and he called out the fact, not that they lost, but we gave up too many shots. We gave up 38 shots on net. We didn't have the puck enough.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't aggressive enough on the puck. So that I agree with you. To me, I'll maybe spin it maybe an overly like kind of Homer positive way. I don't know. Like to me, I just look at this stuff, and a lot of like what AJ said, that this isn't what your team's going to look like. I will kind of bump them up to last year's team because to me, what made last year's team so special was that nothing really changed from one injury to the next. They were just so consistent with the way that they played within the system, the way that everyone was bought into their roles, people could elevate, things like that. To me, I almost kind of look at it as cool. Your 5v5 game wasn't going tonight. You found a way to get a win.
Yeah.
That's what good teams do. You're not going to have it in every part of the game every night.
This 4-2-1 start that they've had, I haven't gone back and actually looked. It's one of the better starts of the Bednar era.
Yeah.
They've been a slow-starting team for like 7 years.
And then those first couple games, they won a few games where they were the only ones that scored 5-on-5 goals and they gave up too much on the power play.
Yeah.
They've now won special teams battles. Like, they just... I look at it, it's like, okay, cool. You're finding ways to scratch out wins.
I don't want to discredit the Avs 5-on-5 too much here. It's a topic I want to get into, but... Yes, they gave up a bajillion shots. They also had well over 40 shots of their own.
Right.
I see chat being like, oh, Shesterkin robbed them a bunch of times. So, well, on the other end, Georgiev did the same thing.
Yep.
This was a spectacular goaltending battle.
It absolutely was.
And not
was.
Like one of those like 20-18, like, oh, well, you're only getting one scoring chance every 5 minutes for each team, and the goalie locks it down. Each team generated plenty tonight.
I mean, let's get into that top line, Megan.
Jonathan sends me a snap of the San Jose Vegas game, says, got to go from that to this? That's so funny. Oh, my God.
Confident positives in the top line generating half a dozen or more chances just can't beat Igor? Or concerning that they can't beat Igor?
No, I'm not concerned about that. It's going to be, you know, when it's really the Igor battle against this team, I think is when the stars come out, and it's a team-based effort too. Like, it's not going to just be squarely on the top line to have production come through.
definitely true.
That's why New York was so successful last year and why they ran into a bunch of problems against the Lightning. It's really easy to be elite from game to game and you only have to play a team once. That's not going to be their issue. Yeah. You get into a series with him and, I mean, he played fucking great in the playoffs last year, so this is only half true, but...
They also won two series against third goaltender.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know what? Fuck them. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Went in doubt.
No, but I mean, you're not wrong. Like you replay that first round 10 times.
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident they come out on the losing end of it the majority of the time.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of things broke their way last year, which is why I was down on them. We'll see. It's still really early. I will say
Chris Kreider got Michael Jordan's magic stuff, special stuff.
Yeah. I've watched a secret number stuff? Of
secret stuff.
Thank you.
I've watched a number of Rangers games so far this year. They do look a lot better than they did last year. At 5v5 in particular, they do look a lot better. But we'll see. It's still early, and like people trying to draw really strong conclusions about teams right now. It's total fool's gold. First month of the season lies to you.
Look,
I think Gerard Gallant's a great coach.
My mornings look a lot better when I start them off with some athletic greens.
I take Pete DeBoer over him.
Go get yourself some. Same thing. Just one scoop of water, one scoop into your water even in the mornings. Gets you going, helps your immune system, has 75 different vitamins and minerals in it, probiotics, adaptogens, stuff I don't even know how they work scientifically, if I'm being honest. I do a hockey podcast. Don't ask me.
That's how you know they're good. We can't even understand the science.
Go ask them, and they'll be like, "This is exactly what it does for you and why it's great." And I'll be like, "It makes me feel good. Cool." So, check it out. You can go to athleticgreens.com.
Do I feel like shit?
Avalanche. Yeah. I'm a simple man, all right?
No, honestly.
athleticgreens.com/avalanche to get it today. When you order, you also get a year's supply of vitamin D. Take control of your health. Helps boost your immune system for flu season, too. So jump on that. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account there. When you're a new account with the code, you can bet $5 on any NBA team to win their next game. And when they do, you get $200 in free bets. If you're feeling spicy, Val Nichushkin for the Rocket.
I think the one that you might put money on is Val Nichushkin for the Selke. Yeah. Because his defensive reputation is to the point where people are just waiting for him to score more points to take him seriously. The hard thing is that he has to continue the elite defensive play. But wings, trying to win a Selke as a wing is very, very
so hard.
It's like trying to win a Hart as a defenseman.
Yep.
It's very difficult to do.
But Bergeron, looking kind of old this year, still really good.
Yeah, and this is where people will talk themselves into Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Sasha Barkov.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad if Barkov won it, but...
Well, I know you're a fanboy, but he's been overrated defensively.
That's okay.
Who?
Barkov.
I think he's all right.
Anyway.
Good. Are you done with reads?
I have to do the part that you guys always cut off.
I'm even going to push my mic away.
Hate it.
Must be 21 or older, Colorado only... Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, go off.
Well, no, so Peter Baugh always talks about this. He always makes this argument. Do you guys think, so in tonight's example, Evan Rodriguez, should he be credited with a goal on the score sheet?
He should be credited with a game-winning goal.
So, but like, do you think it should add to his season total?
Yes. No.
Got one yes and one no.
I will say, I want to clarify, only the game winner.
Right. Yeah. No, if you win,
not,
if you
that's
win.
Stupid. Not Mikko, not Panarin.
Yes, if you score the goal to win it.
I'm really surprised from this take from you.
And that's the argument. I'm with you.
The man who comes out here and say every goal matters all the time.
Yeah, but.
I don't know how that's relevant.
You can't count every shootout goal, but I think the winner.
You shouldn't count any of them.
I mean, they don't.
You shouldn't even do a shootout.
No. Oh, God. Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Even I said, this is a good game for a shootout, to be fair. I was like, this one.
I was like, next thing I know, you're going to say you hate the word moist and In-N-Out, like their original thoughts. The shootout's fine.
In-N-Out is delicious.
In-N-Out is delicious. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. You have a bad food take.
Woo!
I don't even want to talk about this right now because it's so randomly placed, but.
It's too late. We're already in this room.
So, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
With honey.
Yeah, that's bad.
That doesn't sound that weird.
That sounds weird.
That sounds weird as
well. I thought it was weird when I tried it. As I was doing it, I was like, this is either going to be on the pod as a good thing or
is that
really
what those
dumb
fucking
thing.
Biscuits were? Jeez.
And it was... I had leftover honey and was just curious.
Oh, you did this.
Oh.
I did this.
Okay. Wow. Everything about what I thought about this
I
just
changed.
I thought
someone introduced it to you and yeah.
No,
it was like
I tried it.
Their you just background.
Tried it? Yeah, I just tried it out of curiosity.
Okay, no.
Disgusting.
I tried it out of curiosity.
Megan, ish. Take us away from this. Shootout goals count or not?
Game winning, yes.
I'm easy. Also a yes. That's 3-1.
I'm surrounded by crazy people.
Yeah. Easy.
The tribe has spoken. Fuck you.
I've been voted off the island.
God damn, that would be awesome. Survivor Survivor would be way better if that's what they said.
Just an F you on the way out.
Please leave your torch and go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And like, he takes the torch and he like, and then as he hands it to the dude, he just says, fuck you. And then
drops it. Yeah. Drops it before they can get
to
it.
Boom.
We'll get to the shootout in a little bit. The first goal against AJ, I know you said you were
happy.
We're
on the first goal against? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I knew we were going to go long tonight. There's also 600 people watching, so you guys are getting a show tonight.
We're having fun.
Sam Girard.
Tuesdays.
The problem I have with this play is the Avs, at the end of a shift, commit four players below the dots.
I don't think
it's a situation you have to understand and... make a smart decision. You don't need to pick a corner there. You can throw the puck on net and create a rebound. You can throw the puck on net and beat the goalie. Sam Girard misses the net by like 3 feet.
Was it that much?
It was by a lot, man.
I didn't think he missed it by that much. I actually liked the shot selection.
I guess that's not 3 feet. That's maybe like 18 inches, but maybe.
There it is.
Nope. Maybe.
Okay, so anyway, like Girard is in like a prime scoring area there. Try and score, man.
Yeah.
The game's over.
Shoot to score.
You score there, that game's done.
Yeah.
And then and it's easy for me to say that also knowing how defensively it plays out.
Look.
Yo, this person complained about me not talking. I haven't been on a show in like 4 fucking days. What? Comments don't usually bother me. It's like the third comment this person's made about me talking. I'm just going to talk the rest of the show.
Take it.
I'm just
going
to talk over everybody the rest of the show. Our job is literally talking to these microphones. I don't know what you want from us.
My problem with this is, in part, it's Sam Girard.
I don't know what that means.
I don't care.
You're Cale Makar. I trust you more to take that shot.
So if Cale Makar misses the net there and it rims around the board, you're not pissed?
I know.
I'm still pissed, but I understand it more from a Cale Makar.
Here's the other part where I thought you were going with this. Girard gets back.
Yeah, and when focusing on the offensive side of this, because I don't think he misses it by much, and you win the game there.
And I agree with you. Girard gets back fine, but
and
again,
he gets back, and it's a fine defensive possession until EJ just stops.
Is
playing
it though?
Hockey.
Because you give up an odd man rush because your forwards are gone. They're never back in that play.
And if Eric Johnson doesn't cheat and then fucking stop playing he just follows his man to the back post, then the scoring chance that gets created is one where he has no angle on Georgiev a foot away from him.
There's more.
Or he throws that puck.
There's other
across.
Problems there. Absolutely. I'm not trying to like say, oh, it's all Sam Girard's fault.
No, and of course, but at the same time, like they defend it fine for the first part of it, and then all it is a simple play to the back post. Okay. Where somehow the only guy in the world is Eric Johnson who can't figure it out.
Okay, Megan, close my coffin here. Put me away.
I was going to say, you're not going to like it.
I know.
He laid his body down to try and tie up that passing lane, and he's got a smaller body. It didn't work.
He's just a little guy.
So now we're back to the 18 inches conversation.
So he sacrificed the body. Like, he did everything he could, honestly, defensively there, and I don't have an issue with Girard.
He takes his guy.
Yeah.
He marks his guy. The one guy that gets left open is the guy who gets the puck. There shouldn't have been another guy open on the back post. They had numbers. They were correctly marked.
Yeah.
Eric Johnson just leaves him. He just bailed on his job.
Yep.
And it's like, if that doesn't happen, you at least have a competitive play on the back post if that pass gets made. You, at the very least, maybe it still gets scored. We don't know. But they just opened it up. I have no issue with how Girard played it. I have no Gerard gets back. He takes his guy. Slides on the ice. Sam Gerard does everything that you could really want from him in that position.
Yeah.
None of the breakdowns are on Sam Gerard here.
I was actually going to say.
Defensively, I agree with you.
I honestly even think offensively. He jumped into the play at the right time. Like he was part of the rush. He gets a shot, and then he gets back.
And he's in a perfect.
Clearly, we just disagree here. So it's
he's
fine.
He's in the shooting lane of shooting lanes.
And he missed the net from the shooting lane.
Which nobody's ever done before.
And sometimes that's
so
just
execute
happens.
Better.
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
My God.
Great. We can agree. Yes. Shoot where the goaltender isn't next time.
Score on every shot. Yes.
Like, but really,
your miss can't be rimmed out of the zone. That's all.
That happens so much. It's like the majority of shots that miss the net rim out of the zone.
Most of the ones that rim out of the zone are really low percentage plays.
Right.
Gerard's just was not the case. It just wasn't the case.
We're moving on. We got the rest of the game to talk about.
It's exactly what someone who's wrong would say.
I can be wrong. That's fine.
I'm just fucking
won't be the first time. Won't be the last time.
Somebody else
I'm wrong,
needs to do Rudo's review tonight.
I'm just going to post a video of me screeching in the picture of Sam Gerard.
Just replace your replace your face with a stop sign.
The second period on a whole, how do we feel about how much of this was that the Rangers pushing back and how much of it was the Avs fumbling to find themselves?
Yes.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Okay.
I think it's a combination of both. It was really... I think your biggest problem is that your top line was really dangerous offensively and was really stupid everywhere else.
And to the credit of the Rangers, I also genuinely felt like they played better and gave themselves the advantage.
Agreed. I thought it was two teams that lacked really any meaningful forward depth, watching their stars try and make the big
smash into goalies that are playing crazy
and
good.
They each snuck out fourth lines, right? and they at the end of the game, you're sneaking out a fourth line really quick, and then you're okay, bring them back.
We're gonna talk about the fourth line, right?
Let's just do it now. Yeah, cool. Go off.
Do we have?
I wasn't gonna start it off.
Oh, you want me to start?
You're beginning, middle, and end right now. Yeah. You're all of it.
I'm all of it.
These are your people.
I personally did feel there was a distinction in the play of each player on the fourth line. I thought as a whole it was good, and there was more cohesion there than I've seen in the fourth line through this season so far. I thought Dryden Hunt had a pretty good game, a couple of eventful things on his stat sheet at the end of the night. And then I thought Maltsev was right behind him as far as on-ice impact that I could see. And what was interesting is the deployment of all of them was sheltered, generally speaking. But when I tweeted out my stat line of here's what Maltsev has done so far, it didn't change after that. And to his credit, they were all utilized 6 minutes and under. And then Maltsev, Kaut had a really great scoring chance, but he just lacked a little finish. And of those three, I think was a little less visible. But as a whole, I thought they played well together.
Maltsev taking that corner or the puck from the corner
and
just being I am big man, and just driving hard to the front of the net is the precise thing that he doesn't regularly do, where he imposes his size on the other team as a difference making factor. And seeing him do that, you're this is good. Mikhail Maltsev so far. That was the number one Maltsev thing that stuck out for me. I did really like his game. I thought Dryden Hunt was really solid.
I thought he was excellent.
I don't understand why there were only 6 minutes of Dryden Hunt. I would have been happy lowering Andrew Cogliano and upping Dryden Hunt a little bit. And those lines, not just those guys.
These vision hits.
The part that I enjoyed so much about this fourth line, in a game full of plenty of pucker factor, there was half of one shift that was a little dicey for the fourth line.
Yeah.
The vast majority of them were, at worst, pinning pucks in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and you saw them. They were skating well. And I really didn't have a problem with the fourth line. Getting to the end of the night, I understand it's a close game. Oh. I understand that they were, there was no separation, no real separation on the scoreboard all night.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that at the end of the game that their minutes were what they were.
How chopped down they got.
Considering how well they had played. Because that's like the baseline. Like 6 minutes is...
bare minimum, yeah.
Like the Bednar special number.
Yeah.
That he loves for his fourth line. Right in that area with, you know, and Kaut with his notoriously short shifts is the lowest on that list at like 440 something. But it's like... It's a fourth line that had a good game that just did not deserve to
be that limited.
Yeah, thank you. To be that limited. I really would have swapped a couple of shifts between Cogliano and Confer and LOC.
So for me, this is where you get into the reliability conversation. And Megan, you were talking about it. You talked about it a couple times this week. Maltsev and Kaut, what is the number one knock against both of these dudes? It's a consistency.
Yeah. It's the number one thing that...
prospects.
Just call-ups in right. general really right. struggle with.
Is right.
How can they be good every night? How
every
can they
night, help us every shift. Night?
Yeah.
And that's the part that it was It was Greg Cronin who actually... because I asked him, I said, you know, Jared's big thing is consistency, and is that what you're looking for too? And he said, I would use the word consistency, and I would also use the word reliability. And he said, Jared is looking for a guy that if you're in a close game late and you get caught on an icing, can he feel comfortable with you stuck out there? And that's right.
I just love the idea of like no coach is going to feel comfortable with this guy's caught on icing.
But well, so where I'm going with this is I agree with everything you guys said. Like, you know, I thought in their very limited minutes, all three of those guys had good games. AJ and I were remarking in the third period, one, that they were just skating really hard. And I said, this was my issue with them the other night. You have three guys on call-ups just kind of, you know, coasting, big sweeping turns, all that stuff.
I want to push back on the Kaut coasting a little bit.
I'm not saying tonight.
I know, but AJ, you talked about once or twice he got caught kind of floating towards the puck. And while that does happen occasionally, the only way I know how to explain this, and none of you know CSGO terms, but the seven people in chat who do, Martin Kaut plays the lurker position. He likes to kind of disappear on the defensive side and slip into a passing lane and take stuff away that the other team kind of lose him and don't realize he's taking away. And that leads
Works to, out real well for him.
That leads to quieter nights. But it's not that he's not defending. It's just he's not, as Jared Bednar put it, a loud defender.
Well, and I will say, like, we made fun of that comment, but Martin Kaut versus Anton Bleed in the NHL so far, who's getting the games?
Yeah,
right. Right.
Oh, yeah. Like that's what we wanted to see. Like, this is what we... And look, they're out east. They're gone. This is probably the roster that they are playing
least for this trip, pre-Finland.
And this is probably the lineup that they have. Maybe Helm joins in at some point, but this is probably their lineup through the Finland games. And so I think that's going to help them also, but that gives them time to build some of that trust. If they play like they did tonight, if you can do that and they do it again on Friday night, then I think we can start to see maybe a little bit more, especially in a back-to-back, with two back-to-backs coming up. You're going to see like minutes distribution becomes like one of those important strategic things that you care a lot more about. So I do think that they played well. They deserved more ice time. I hope that when they go back and they watch video, the coaching staff says, "Yeah, we got to get them another shift or two."
They've Maltsev and Kaut in particular, they have to have another game like this the next game. They have to.
It's got to be consistent,
right? Yeah. You have to build on it. That's always
a handful of Kaut games in a row. Now it feels weird because the set down and called up right after games for to
save
money.
They're actually in a row.
but yeah, like, I wonder, can they send them down and still have them be on the trip? Like,
I think so.
Megan, last word on prospects, then we'll get into the third period.
I don't have.
Nothing to say?
No.
Okay. You got in the chat to talk about Foodie
if we want to talk about Foodie.
Just wanted to give you the opening. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it at your local liquor store anywhere in the lower 48 states. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com. And we're also brought to you by Hassle Cattle Company. I can't figure out how to get the 18 inches joke back into this one, fam. Just go get the sausages. They're good. Their Wagyu beef burgers, also delicious.
The 18 inches is the joke.
Go check it out while you can. They're 20% off with code DNVR20 when you order online from hasslecattlecompany.com. They have a bunch of other meats, too. We always recommend the Wagyu burgers because they're actually stupid good. But all their meats are great. Highly recommend you check them out. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Third period of this game. I know the answer is no, but it feels like Logan O'Connor scores more shorthanded goals than regular goals.
It does feel that way.
What was happening at the bar tonight to have LOC's fan club here?
Yeah. LOC gang.
I dialed him up. I said, come on down.
Did you like send out the newsletter? And yeah. Hey, this is a good time for us to do this?
The Pio signal. Yeah, it was in my cards that this would happen tonight, so I actually knew it was going to happen. Yeah.
All right. It's time to start believing the cards, I guess. Avs now have two shorthanded goals on the season. It's something they've been weirdly good at the past handful of years. Are we giving them credit here, or is this just the ebbs and flows of hockey?
Again, a little bit of both. Like, I mean, they really do. I told AJ, you can think whatever you want to think about LOC. You can feel however you want to feel about, you know, his offensive ability, whatever. That dude just skates harder than everyone else, and that's where he catches a lot of people. And I remember him talking about that last year. You can see it in guys' body language sometimes. They're just not expecting a forechecker to be coming that hard on, you know, a penalty kill dump out of the zone. They'll kind of be coasting back.
Especially as the second forward.
Right.
Like he was tonight. Like, one guy going hard into the corner to try and, slow it down or reverse a puck or whatever. Cool.
Yeah.
But then it's when he's the second guy and you're just not expecting him to just be like, oh, this guy's also attacking me right now. Okay.
And this is where I go back to the Tampa Bay thing about the Avs coming in waves. It's the same thing, except I think where it catches some teams off is they're not expecting those waves to continue when the Avs are down a man and LOC just does a great job of skating, putting himself in those positions. Then you put him with a guy like Cogs, a guy like Val, who that's all of their identity is just skate, 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 skate.
In this specific case, getting into the shorthanded goals, The Avs have shown that they're pretty fearless to just send dudes up the ice.
Yeah.
They trust them to get back.
Both the Bogle and this one.
Devon Taves in overtime tonight?
Yeah, just...
You're shorthanded.
Going.
You could just clear this thing out and get to a shootout, and he's like, nah, we going.
Yeah, we're going
up the ice, and we're gonna try for this thing.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Well, and look, it's benefited them, obviously, tonight. Cogliano says thank you very much to Igor. But instead of it being an awkward situation where Igor's getting back to the net and Cogs has this puck in a weird spot, it's Logan O'Connor saying, I've jumped in. Mm-hmm. I recognize this and have the wheels to get here.
Right.
And the Avs get the reward for
it. When that first puck fumble happened, like LOC, I mean, we don't have full camera of it, but you know that LOC is like,
I'm going.
Heat-seeking missile. He knew. Yeah. And honestly,
he's a crash test dummy. Like, he's your classic fourth-line crash test dummy.
The positives when you hear Bednar and OC describe the PK as aggressive, and that is the solution, that they need to be more aggressive. I think this is what they actually envision aggressive to be. Mm. It's opportunistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, pursue
opportunistic's the right word.
It is, because so much of what they do well is aggression before their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about, this is an aggressive PK or whatever, but so much of the Avs aggression happens in the 2/3 of the ice that is before the blue line, before they have to start defending in their zone. Their type of aggression is, well, we don't want to have to defend in our own zone.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to go and attack the puck now. We're going to get it on the forecheck. We're going to get it in the neutral zone. We're not going to let you get into that zone and get possession and then get aggressive. We're going to be aggressive before that. And that was where we saw tonight Shesterkin just poorly handled the puck. Cogliano made him shit his pants a little bit and then embarrassed him.
Well, dude, how many times did we talk about this during the playoffs and even throughout last season? This is just a team that you cannot make mistakes against. Igor Shesterkin makes one mistake, barely mishandles a puck, and it's in the back of the net. Like, that is part of what has made this team.
And you see that when he had a chance to go and get the puck in overtime, he didn't.
He didn't.
Yep. And he started to, and then you could just see
the fear.
The red lights pop up in front of him, and he was like, Nope.
And again, like that's one of those things that, and I hate saying some of this stuff because I think so much of it is so cliche, but like that is one of those like weird intangibles that this team has. They skate you to death. They don't allow you to make a mistake. And it causes a guy like Shesterkin, who's a good puck handler. He's good at moving the puck up ice. It causes him to second guess. And no. Okay, I'm going to go. Now he's going late. That's when he loses that kind of puck race. It's just, it's fascinating to watch, again, just these small little things where it's like, that's what separates you from Nashville. Nashville doesn't cash in on 100% of their mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, and the Avs are pretty damn close.
Well, and hockey is such a game of mistakes. It's such a, it's not even about what you do. It's about what you take advantage of, you know, and tonight was a great example of that because both teams created so much offense, but you look at the goals that they score and they are direct results of mistakes.
And you've gotten us to why this game is tied. I really thought the Avs played pretty well in the third period for the most part.
I really didn't. No strong issues there.
And then MacKinnon makes the critical mistake.
MacKinnon makes a dumb mistake high in the zone, which is like, he is a high wire act there. He has made so many great plays from that part of the ice that...
You live with it. You do.
But especially when you get a win, you're just kind of like, Nate, I don't have to tell you this, but don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, it just, in that moment, he just gets outplayed.
Yep.
Makes a critical mistake that he just can't make.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's Adam Fox on the other end of it, right? That's not
really good play.
That's a really good player. And so, you know, if it's going to be someone, I can understand how that happens to a player like MacKinnon.
I will say, like Adam Fox and Nathan MacKinnon, if there's one of those guys that you would describe as more powerful than the other,
it's Nathan MacKinnon.
It was not the way that we saw it. And watching Adam Fox just lunch money him.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, this is a little disappointing that you let this just happen to you in this way. Mm-hmm. And then on getting back,
the transition.
The whole thing was a total mess.
Well, because Mikko does a phenomenal job.
He's back. He just evened
it up by the time they got to the blue line, but there was no meaningful communication between Taves and Rantanen.
Yep.
And so they cover the same guy.
Yeah.
And then Mikko lays down on the ice. Makar has to go diving because he trips over Miko's body. And it's just like, it was one mistake turned into four in the blink of an eye.
It just became a total mess.
Yeah. And that's how you end up with a puck in the back of your net, is in a desperate situation like that.
Georgie almost got it, too.
Both of them almost got that.
I thought he had the Goudreau one.
Yeah, I did, too.
If they hadn't started celebrating, I was like, what the?
I just wanted to make this quick comment on the Kreider one, because that was such a more impressive save than I thought in real speed. I thought it hit the post and landed behind him.
No, he got it.
I was looking at it. I was like, ooh, that may have hit back bar. Like, this may count once we see the replay. And it actually wasn't even, for all intents and purposes, it really wasn't even that close. Like, that was a solid stop. Fell underneath him. He fell back on it. Like, that was like textbook everything you want a goalie to do in that situation.
Because when you're watching that camera replay from inside the net, you're always looking at the line. And you're like, where's the puck going to cross?
Yeah.
And it never did. And then they show it more times. You start going hunting for the puck, and you see it's like a foot away from that line at all times.
Well, and it
never gets close enough for you to actually be like, wow.
And for Kreider to celebrate, like, again, like it hit him in the shoulder and fell behind him.
Yeah.
For Kreider to throw his hands up, I assumed at bare minimum post.
Yeah.
It just that was a really impressive save. That was aggressive. And again, like, good on him to keep the composure when it fell in behind him and didn't, you know, panic and knock it in or something.
Yeah. On to the shootout. Nothing doing for the first two shooters on each side. You get Mikko, who just catches Shesterkin dropping the glove and rips it. They get one back on the... AJ, you said this before we went live on the show. I genuinely don't know what goalies do if players go at that, like, 0.5 mile an hour speed.
Yeah, well, because if you're at the top of your crease, you're trying to cut down the angle and you're being aggressive, a guy moving that slowly can make a move like that.
Yep. At the last millimeter or whatever.
And then it looks like you're an idiot. Like, you just got made to look bad. And then you watch all the other saves that he makes and you're like, oh,
guy's pretty good.
That one almost seemed like a little bit like he was thinking about, I'm going to do this. We're going to win. I'm going to get this victory. And he just A little too aggressive. Also,
there are
step I think, too far.
Can you name five players that comfortably would make a move like that? That would scare the shit out of you.
Nope.
Because for it's like Panarin, Kucherov,
yep.
Kane.
Maybe like Gaudreau. Maybe.
Maybe Gaudreau. Yeah, okay, I'll even give you that. I'm at four.
Yeah, it's
because most of the guys, you know, most dudes, it's
Kaprizov.
The speed. I don't think so. He doesn't. Really? I've never in a shootout anyway. I've never seen him slow it down like that.
Yeah.
Not that I've watched all of his shootouts.
he just seems like the type of guy that would.
But a guy with certainly I think the skill level to pull it off. I just don't know that I've seen him. Do
well, it's the you have to be both a threat to shoot it. And have the hands. Yeah. And that's just
you have to have something to get them to bite, right? And Evan Rodriguez had something to get Igor to bite. I don't think Oshie
is on that list because
that's not how his shootout
works. He doesn't
works.
Need to slow it down. His bag of tricks is just endless.
Oh, yeah. So his thing is
Oshie and like Troy Terry are the guys where you're just like, oh, these guys were just born to score shootout goals.
Well,
they were born to embarrass goalies one on one. They can do any move that any other guy has, those guys have.
And Oshie's just so funny because he's almost like the opposite of that, where like he almost like looks off the move and just like dunks it five hole. Or he's like, oh, I'm going to move. Psych, wide open, goal.
Well, and goalies respect the shit out of anything.
Yeah.
They have to bite because he will embarrass them.
He'll just dump it in behind them if they don't bite.
Right.
And then, Evan Rodriguez embarrassed and then plowed into Igor Shesterkin.
My parents are here tonight. It's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. Everybody, my parents included, when E-Rod jumped over the boards, we were all like, what? You have all these options and you're going with E-Rod? Well,
let's talk about this for a sec.
And wow. Good for him.
So they get the initial couple. Any objections to McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen?
None.
Nope.
Feels like the obvious three with no Landy.
Well, maybe going forward, might have to change things.
Yeah, you may take McCarr out of that.
Yeah.
No objection with the first three, but we were talking afterward, like, okay, we were all surprised by Rodriguez, but also, like, who's the obvious choice there?
Yeah. Wasn't that guy.
You can make a plenty of a good argument for Nichushkin. Yeah. You can make an argument for Newhook. You can make an argument for Rodriguez.
Lecky.
You can make an argument, I guess, for Lecky. You could certainly make one for Bowen Byram.
Yeah. Yep.
Taves?
Maybe Taves and Girard, I think, down the line.
Yeah.
But the surprise was E-Rod was at the front of that line. And it was especially ahead of Nichushkin. Mr. All-World Confidence.
Yeah.
Like, just give him the puck and let him blast it from the blue line.
Yeah, he actually wears that belt during games now. I think that was the only real surprise there is that it was E-Rod ahead of Nichushkin.
It was very unsurprising after the fact.
Well, and then he makes that move. Yeah. And you make a move so badly that Igor Shesterkin vacates the net. Like, you know why he got run over? Is because E-Rod had half the net to fall into forward. Yeah. How in the world? I mean, and it doesn't even look like anything special when he's doing it. And then the way that Shesterkin just all-ins it.
Like, the way he gets on his his edges, the reverse direction, it's like, how did he do that?
Here's the one thing I will say. I was surprised Shesterkin bit that hard on the backhand. Like, that didn't really look to me like he was prepped to shoot that at any point.
It makes me wonder.
I don't.
Did something happen in Pittsburgh last year? Something happen in that playoff series?
Where he, like, forehand, then shelved it backhand or something?
There was,
yeah.
Where there was a backhand from Rodriguez that Shesterkin filed away, and E-Rod filed it away and was like, we're not doing that again.
I just wonder.
I'm going to go home tonight and look.
I'm going to have to watch it a bunch more times, but I do think E-Rod did a great job of selling it with his body position.
Yeah.
If you look, he's at
a 45-degree
angle and cuts it back and just dunks on him. So, yeah, and then
it was such a good move.
It was a sick move to end a really good game. I really don't have much else. Like, it was... That was great finish to what was a really good hockey game.
And lastly, the guy that closes it out, there's absolutely zero doubt in the world who's getting the king of the game in this one.
Logan O'Connor.
Yeah. Don't you dare.
I said it during the game and got yelled at.
Of course it's going to be Georgiev. Like, gets revenge on his old team, just drops a casual 957
nice.
With 44 saves. I mean, come on. That's outdueled the Vezina winner from last season.
Yeah. Well, and like the guy that he could not usurp for that
yeah.
position.
Yeah.
Because well, he was the heir apparent to
Lundqvist.
To Lundqvist. So you're the heir apparent to the king. And then you kind of fumble it along the way. Yeah. And then Igor Shesterkin has one of the greatest rookie like goaltender performances that we've seen in forever. You know, just such a dominant single season early in the career, and just made it obvious he's the man.
Yeah.
And Georgiev wanted out of New York for a while. He just didn't feel like he was getting the opportunity. Like, gets to Colorado, pretty good team to take a chance on you. And then you end up in this kind of a game back facing against your old team. And like, of course, like, you don't blame the Rangers for making the decision that they made.
No.
It's Igor Shesterkin. Like, come on.
You're not going the other direction.
If New York called up Colorado after this game and said, we'll offer you Shesterkin for Georgiev, they would obviously
say yes. Yeah.
But what in that situation, that performance, that fire that he showed at the end of the game,
yep.
like that's one of the ones I think that's going to really endear him to the guys in the room, because they know that this one meant a lot to him. And for him to show up in that game, I mean, it's kind huge. Of thing where yeah. you're like, dude, this could be like the game that is the launch pad into
mm-hmm.
a pretty special goaltender season.
At minimum, it's the game where you're going to see the Avs start playing in front of that guy with confidence.
Yeah.
And trusting that dude.
Well, and it's
them.
A couple games in a row that he's played well.
Yep.
But this was on a different level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
In MSG, against the especially in that situation.
And it was just Sturkin at the other end. You know what I mean? It wasn't like yeah. they got, you know, the Rangers on the second night of a back-to-back and you get a backup. Like, no, that's the guy that took your job. That's him. You mm-hmm. that was you at the other end until this guy came to town. Like, we all made the comment down there, like, that was a personal game for Georgiev, and mm-hmm. you could tell early on he was dialed in. And yeah, that Selly at the end, I thought, kind of told the story.
All right, we got some super chats to get to. $2 from James saying, what was your highlight of regulation? Pick a Georgiev save.
It's the Georgiev save on Kreider.
Yeah, me too.
I think that one was great. Someone mentioned the like secondary kick to get back to the post. On Trouba, was it? I forget who.
The deflection at like the start of the game.
Yeah.
Where it goes off of, I think it was Byram's body.
Yep.
And it just
careens
like,
right on net.
Yeah, right on net. And he doesn't even like, it's like last second twitch reflex. He bats it out of yep. the air. It was also a really good one.
$20, very generous from Parker, who says, was at the game, more Avs fans than I expected. Rangers fans were super low energy until the third period. Great to see the Avs control a lot of play and see the win for Georgiev. Nailed it. Six from Enrique saying, audio is gone. Help. Please send help. We fixed it. It's okay.
It's good now.
Thank you for the six. Oh, good. Cool. That's weird that there's still like 550 people watching us then. $10 from Odd SC, who says $1 for each of my homies doing time in Grasshopper Hotel.
I love that my homies doing time. So Grasshopper prison. Hotel is now a prison.
It's not prison.
Sandy P. Bearass, Director, Department of Potholes, PS, great game.
I love the machine. Department was it that you found?
Yeah. Like cuts it out and fills it. Yeah.
Fixes a pothole in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Megan, we could do it in four.
$5 from Tommy, who says, Georgie just looked dialed in and has the want to on every shot against. Love this game so far. Good way to put that.
It's fun to like fall in love with a goalie quickly.
Yeah, instead of having to wait. Like,
God, we got to wait 3 months
and
for
let me
this
talk
thing,
myself or? Into this.
Yeah.
And $2 from Kevin. Holy crap, that Erod goal and them saves. Holy.
That would have been a pretty good summation of the pod.
Yeah.
That's so true.
We got to stop doing hour-long pods. These 10 seconds. Call it. And then a late one from Nate for $5 saying my blood pressure is finally back to normal. That's my secret. My blood pressure is always high.
Yeah, exactly.
The walrus making shit up again. Look at him go. Any final thoughts? Anything you wanted to touch on, Megan?
I think I need to parkour off one of these columns.
Go run through a wall?
Yeah. The people wanted it. I'll do it off camera, I promise.
We'll put it on Insta. We won't, but that's okay.
We won't.
Any other final thoughts?
Not about the game, but I guess we maybe should. Blaze was supposed to make a graphic, but he left like a chump.
Slacker.
Look, we worked real hard. We tried real hard to get all of us to Finland. Don't need to get too far into it. We couldn't make it happen. I will be there covering the games, doing all kinds of hopefully really fun, really cool shit. Look, like it's disappointing. We were really hoping to be able to pull something real big together for the community, for us. It would have been awesome. But we've had a ton of people asking us, and we've had to be very vague over the last several weeks.
Fuck off.
But yeah, that I will be in Finland. So if you'll be there, please let me know.
Yeah. Hit up Jesse. If even with just Jesse, we have a ton of cool content planned.
Yeah. We've got maybe like the most excited I've ever been for a project coming out of this. And I think it's going to, it's definitely gonna be a first for stuff that we've done. So I hope you all really like it. Like I said, we don't need to go too much further than that. I'm really bummed that these three folks aren't coming with me, but, like Rudo said, we've still got some really cool stuff planned and, won't let you down.
There
won't
you go.
Let you down.
I was not legally allowed to leave the country.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Blame Megan.
Yeah.
TSA has her on the note.
The way that the NSA monitors all public content, they were watching ours and they were like, red flag.
Yeah,
big time. We tried to buy her a plane ticket and it just would not let us.
I'm sorry, guys.
The button just grayed out Robin Hood style. They just took the buy button away.
Someone's getting sued. Okay, we got to go home. We got work to do. You know, all the pieces are coming your way. The review, all of that. We love all of you, and we will talk to you with a normal show tomorrow.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.